Hi guys, it's Quinn here. If you enjoy my videos, consider hitting the like button. It's the only way the YouTube algorithm really notices me. Shushun Le's Remembrance of Earth's Past trilogy describes the journey of mankind through eight distinct eras. The Common Era, the era most familiar to the one you and I know, before they knew what awaited within the dark forest beyond the stars. The year 201 XCE, or 2010 AD, would mark the end of the Common Era. The epoch CE stood for Crisis Era. This was the era directly following humanity's discovery that not only was there other intelligent life in the universe, but it was vicious and hungry, determined to snuff out the human race and claim the Earth for its own. The Crisis Era would last from 201 XCE to 2208 AD, which would mark the start of the Deterrence Era, which would last 62 years to be followed by a brief period of time known as the Post-Deterrence Era, which lasted approximately 2 years, from 2270 to 2272. The ages that followed were, in order, the Broadcast Era, from 2272 to 2332, the Bunker Era, from 2333 to 2400, the Galaxy Era, which began in 2273 and continued indefinitely, and finally, the Black Domain Era for the DX3906 star system, which lasted from 2687 through 18,906,416. We will discuss all of these eras in future videos, but in this one we will hone in on perhaps the most crucial era of all for humanity, the Deterrence Era, which began with the Wall Facer known as Luo Ji. Part 1. The Wall Facers. To understand what happened to bring about the Deterrence Era, which kept the Trisolarans at bay after the devastating droplet attack which annihilated humanity's entire space force, we have to talk about the Wall Facers. The Wall Facer Project was enacted in Year 7 of the Crisis Era. It was known that the Trisolarans, through the powers of their technology, had the ability to monitor the actions of humanity in real time. This was by use of a supercomputer etched onto a proton. This supercomputer was entangled at the quantum level with another on the world of Trisolaris. The word quantum, of course, refers to the minimum unit of any physical entity involved in interaction. Quantum entanglement, also sometimes referred to as the quantum non-local connection, is a property of a quantum mechanical system in which the quantum states of two objects are linked together in such a way that one object can no longer be adequately described without full mention of its counterpart. This gave the aliens perfect sight of all events on Earth and the ability to instantly sabotage much of the technological progress at the quantum level. The Trisolarans did have blind spots, however. Because of the nature of their own existence, the Trisolarans did not have a full grasp of human deception. They also had no access to the inner workings of the human mind. They could not read human thoughts. They could not easily interpret human emotions. The Wall Facer Project was meant to take advantage of these facts. Four Wall Facers were chosen. The first was the American citizen, Frederick Tyler, a former Secretary of Defense. The second was a man named Manuel Rey Diaz, the current president of Venezuela. The third was a world-renowned English scientist and politician named Bill Hines. The fourth, and seemingly least qualified Wall Facer, was a Chinese man named Luo Ji. The Wall Facers, from within their own minds, were to each devise a plan to thwart the Trisolarans. They would have diplomatic immunity globally and unlimited resources to go about their efforts. At its heart, the project consists of selecting a group of people to formulate and direct strategic plans. They will develop their plans entirely in their own minds, with no communication of any kind with the outside world. The true strategy of these plans, the necessary steps for completion, and the ultimate aims will remain hidden inside the brain. We shall call them the Wall Facers, because that ancient Eastern name for meditators mirrors the unique characteristics of their work. As they direct the execution of their strategic plans, the thoughts and behaviors these Wall Facers present to the outside world will be entirely false, a carefully crafted melange of disguise, misdirection, and deception. The subject of this misdirection and deception will be the entire world, both enemy and ally, until a huge, bewildering maze of illusions is erected to make the enemy lose its judgment, and to delay as long as possible the moment it works out our true strategic intent. The Wallfacers would be granted unprecedented powers that would allow them, if they so chose, to mobilize and exploit Earth's military resources. They would not be expected to explain their commands or their actions, regardless of how discombobulating their behavior might appear to the outside. The sole organization granted the authority to veto Wallfacer commands would be the UN Planetary Defense Council, who would also monitor and control Wallfacer activity. The Wallfacers would use hibernation technology in order to bridge the centuries until the time came when humanity would face the Trisolarans, waking when it was necessary to engage another stage of their plan. The Wallfacers are undertaking the most difficult mission in human history. They will truly be on their own. Their souls closed off to the world, to the entire universe. Their only communication partner and sole spiritual support will be themselves. Shouldering this great responsibility, they will pass through the long years alone. So let me speak for all humanity and offer them our deepest respect. All four Wallfacers made efforts. They all failed, but one. Luoji would ultimately be responsible for saving the human race. Part 2. The Spell. By chance, previously in his life, Luoji had come into contact with Ye Wenji, the woman responsible for intentionally exposing the location of Earth to Trisolaris and founding ETO, Earth Trisolaris Organization, which acted as the human hand of the Trisolarans on this planet. It was because of her that he had been introduced to the concept of cosmic sociology. It was based on only two axioms. First, survival is the primary need of civilization. Second, civilization continuously grows and expands, but the total matter in the universe remains constant. The Trisolarans were aware of the fact that Ye Wenji had introduced Luoji to this concept, because they knew that the ultimate extrapolation of its axioms would lead to a piece of information about the universe that the Trisolarans were attempting to conceal from humanity. Throughout the years, Luoji had fixated on Ye Wenji's words to him, trying to extract as much meaning as possible. Eventually, he begins to understand. Perhaps there were deadly assassins shielded in the darkness of the cosmos. He had to test his theory, and he knew one way to do so. He called it a spell. Using the sun's radio wave magnification capabilities, they would send a message out into the cosmos. This message would contain three simple images, along with some additional information intended to demonstrate the images were sent by some form of intelligence. Each of the images were of planets in the star system 187J3X1. "What is it?" asked the U.S. representative, who, like the rest of the attendees, was inspecting the images carefully. "Wallfacer Luoji, according to the basic principles of the Wallfacer Project, you do not need to answer that question," the chair said. "It's a spell," he said. The rustling and murmuring in the auditorium stopped abruptly. Everyone looked up in the same direction, so that Luoji now knew the location of the screen displaying his feed. "What?" asked the chair with narrowed eyes. "He said it's a spell," someone seated at the circular table said loudly. "A spell against whom?" Luoji answered. "Against the planets of star 187J3X1. Of course, it could also work directly against the star itself. What effect will it have?" "That's unknown right now, but one thing is certain. The effect of the spell will be catastrophic." "Is there a chance these planets have life?" "I consulted repeatedly with the astronomical community on that point. From present observational data, the answer is no," Luoji said, narrowing his eyes like the chair had. He prayed silently, "May they be right." The star system 187J3X1 was about 50 light years away, so it would take at least that long for there to be any results to his spell. Luoji instructed them to only wake him from hibernation when the effect of his spell had been detected. But Luoji's wishes would not be respected. He was not woken until approximately 200 years later, and by this point in history, the Wallfacer Project was all but forgotten. Many in the current era looked upon the decision to form the Wallfacer Project in the first place as a gross misjudgment on the part of the leaders of the old age, In this day and age, Luo Ji would be looked at as little more than an average citizen. It wouldn't be until after the Battle of Darkness, which annihilated the entirety of Earth's Space Force, that the Wallfacer Project was revalidated and Luo Ji's status restored. The reasons for the restoration of this project and his status were simple. His spell had worked. 187J3X1 has been destroyed. When? 51 years ago. It was observed a year ago, but no one was paying much attention to that star, so the observations were only discovered this afternoon. A few desperate people in the SFJC wanted to find inspiration in history, and they remembered the Wallfacer Project and your spell, so they looked at 187J3X1 and found that it wasn't there anymore. In its place was a nebula of debris. They scanned through all observational records of the star until its destruction a year ago, then pulled all of the observational data of 187J3X1 at the time it exploded. Luo Ji's spell had revealed the location of the star to the greater universe, marking it as a system bearing life, though he knew otherwise. The effect was the same. The star had been fully stable. It had not gone nova naturally. Prior to its destruction, a tiny object called a photoid, moving near the speed of light, was observed rushing at the star. The resulting explosion vaporized all four planets in the star system. Luo Ji now understood that he was correct. He had been chosen to become a Wallfacer because the Trisolarans had wanted him dead. They wanted him dead because they knew he was close to uncovering the secret they had desperately wanted to conceal from humanity. The universe is actively hostile, and intelligent life that revealed itself was ultimately wiped out by a technologically superior race. Whatever civilization had destroyed 187J3X1 was far more advanced than the Trisolarans by several orders of magnitude. The location of Earth at this point had only been revealed to the Trisolarans. The aliens knew that if humanity knew this secret of the universe, they may attempt to reveal the location of Trisolaris, which would also, inadvertently, reveal the location of the Earth as well, dooming both civilizations. Part 3. The Chain of Suspicion. To understand the hostility of cosmic society, you have to understand a concept known as Chain of Suspicion. The books use a metaphor of two worlds. They are the only worlds in the universe. Let's call these two civilized worlds your civilization and my civilization. They are separated by a great distance, say, 100 light years. You can detect that I exist, but you don't know any details. However, I'm completely ignorant of your presence. Now we need to define two concepts, benevolence and malice, between civilizations. These words themselves aren't very rigorous in a scientific context, so we've got to restrict their meaning. Benevolence means not taking the initiative to attack and eradicate other civilizations. Malice is the opposite. There is no way for either of the civilizations to know whether or not the other is benevolent or malignant. The world that knows of the existence of the other is at an advantage here. Even if they do not know the specific location of the other world, the fact that they know of its existence means that they can search for them. And due to the exponential nature of technological growth, they will eventually locate them. It's only a matter of time. Let's say both civilizations know of each other's existence. Even if both civilizations think the other is benevolent, neither of the civilizations can feel safe because, as I said before, there is no way for either of the civilizations to know what the other thinks of it. You might assume that through communication, these two worlds will be able to determine whether the other was malicious or not. If the other world was benevolent, communication could potentially be continued and perhaps the worlds could be united. If not, then the technologically weaker civilization would be eradicated. This type of scenario could happen on Earth, but the chain of suspicion is much longer in space. Let's say that both civilizations know that the other thinks that they are benevolent. They still don't know what the other thinks about what they think about the other. It's a convoluted line of logic that goes on indefinitely. On Earth, the chain of suspicion would be resolved quickly. Humans have common language, common experience, and efficient communication. None of this is present in space among separate races of beings on separate worlds in the cosmos. That's the chain of suspicion. It's something you don't see on Earth. Humanity's shared species, cultural similarities, interconnected ecosystem, and close distances means that in this environment, the chain of suspicion will only extend a level or two before it's resolved through communication. But in space, the chain of suspicion can be very long. Something like the Battle of Darkness will already have taken place before communication can resolve it. In actual cosmic civilization, the biological differences between different groups might be as high as the kingdom level, and cultural differences are even further beyond our imagining. Add this to the vast distances between them, and you have chains of suspicion that are practically indestructible. That means that the outcome is the same, regardless of whether we're benevolent civilizations or malicious civilizations. That's right. That's the most important aspect of the chain of suspicion. It is unrelated to the civilization's own morality and social structure. It is enough to think of every civilization as the points at the end of the chain, regardless of whether civilizations are internally benevolent or malicious. When they enter the web formed by chains of suspicion, they're all identical. Now, you might think that a benevolent civilization that knows of the existence of a much weaker civilization could attempt to communicate with the weaker civilization, which wouldn't be a threat to the technologically superior world. This, of course, would not work because of a concept I mentioned earlier, the exponential nature of technological progress. Humans have existed for approximately 100,000 years, but the vast majority of our technological progression has happened within the last 300 years. On the scale of the universe, whose timeline moves on a much slower trajectory, this is not merely a progression. This is an explosion. On Earth, it took 300 years, but there's no reason why humanity should be the fastest of all cosmic civilizations. Maybe there are others whose technological explosions were even more sudden. I'm weaker than you, but once I've received your message and know of your existence, the chain of suspicion is established between us. If at any time I experience a technological explosion that suddenly puts me far ahead of you, then I'm stronger than you. On the scale of the universe, several hundred years is a snap of a finger, and it might be that my knowledge of your existence and the information I received from our communication was the perfect spark to set off that explosion. That means that even though I'm just a newborn or growing civilization, I'm still a big danger to you. If you are the stronger civilization, the weaker civilization is a threat because of the potential for technological explosion. They could find and destroy your civilization within a blip on the cosmic scale. This was the very reason the Trisolarans attempted to stall human technological progress. The Trisolarans and the humans are unique in this particular case, however. Rather than attempting to annihilate the world, as would be the goal of most Dark Forest attacks, the Trisolarans seek to live on the world themselves. Their own world was a part of a triple star system, causing their planet to be highly unstable environmentally. The Trisolarans had never been able to correct this problem and instead sought a new home. Earth was perfect for them. But even if the Trisolarans didn't wish to inhabit Earth themselves, Earth revealing its own location would have still had devastating consequences. The chain of suspicion is the reason that the universe is a dark forest. Part 4, The Deterrence Era. Now that we understand the chain of suspicion, we can talk about the Deterrence Era. Directly following the Battle of Darkness, Luo Ji discovered the results of his spell. Using the sun, he was able to transmit 3 images into the cosmos. Each of the images consisted of 30 points, which represented the planar projection of a 3-dimensional coordinate system that contained the position of 30 stars. By combining the 3 images, an intelligence could create a cubic space populated by those 30 points. It would represent the relative positions of 187J3X1 and the 30 or so stars surrounding it. A label also drew attention to the star, 187J3X1. Think carefully about it, and you'll get it. A hunter in a dark forest, stalking with bated breath, suddenly notices that a piece of bark has been stripped from a tree in front of him. On the eye-catching bit of white wood that's been revealed is a position in the forest, written in characters that all hunters can recognize. What will he think about that location? He's certainly not going to imagine that someone has laid out supplies for him there. Out of all the possibilities, the most likely one is that the blaze is informing everyone that there's live prey at that location that needs to be eliminated. Even if the vast majority of the civilizations that receive the message chose not to act, at least some will. And that act, due to chain of suspicion, will almost certainly be hostile. Luigi realizes what he must do. As I said, the Trisolarans monitor all human events. Luigi had only to speak out in order to speak to them directly. "I'm speaking to Trisolaris," Luigi said. His voice wasn't loud. He thought about repeating himself, but he knew that they could hear him. Luigi raised his left hand, revealing an object on his wrist, the size of a watch. "This is a vital signs monitor, linked through a transmitter to a cradle system. You remember Wallfacer Ray Diaz from 2 centuries ago, so you certainly know about cradle systems. The signal sent from this monitor travels the links of the cradle system to the Snow Project's 3,614 bombs deployed in solar orbit. Now, I will, in a future video, do a detailed analysis of the plans of each Wallfacer, but for now we will stay focused. Wallfacer Ray Diaz's plan to thwart the Trisolarans had failed in the end, but as we can see, Luigi was able to adapt the technology for his own purposes. The signal is sent out once every second to maintain the bombs in a non-triggered state. If I die, the system's maintenance signal will vanish, and all of the bombs will detonate, turning the oil film surrounding the bombs into 3,614 interstellar dust clouds ringing the sun. From a distance, the sun's visible light and other high-frequency bands will appear to flicker through the dust cloud coverage. The position of every bomb has been precisely arranged in solar orbit so that this flickering will generate a signal transmitting 3 simple images of the sort I sent out 2 centuries ago. Each image an arrangement of 30 points, with one labeled for composition into a 3-dimensional coordinate diagram. But unlike last time, the position will contain the transmission of Trisolaris relative to its surrounding 29 stars. The sun will be a galactic lighthouse, casting that spell, in the process, of course, also exposing the position of the sun and Earth. To receive the entire transmission at any single point in the galaxy will take more than a year, but there ought to be more than a few civilizations that have the technology to observe the sun from multiple vantage points. If that's the case, they may only need a few days or even a few hours to obtain all the information they need. Luigi threatened to reveal the location of Earth and Trisolaris. Both worlds would be doomed in the end, but humanity would never be subjugated by the Trisolarans. The detonator invisibly tied to his heart would ignite, revealing the location of both worlds if he was killed. After revealing this information to the Trisolarans, he then prepares for what could be his final act. He placed the tip of the pistol to his heart and said, "Now I'm going to stop the beating of my heart. By doing so, I will be committing the greatest crime in the history of our 2 worlds. I express my deepest apologies to our 2 civilizations for the crime that I commit, but I have no regrets, because this is the only option. I know the Sofans are nearby, but you have ignored humanity's call. Silence is the greatest form of contempt. And we have put up with this contempt for 2 centuries. Now, if you wish, you can continue to remain silent. I will give you 30 seconds. Suddenly, Luigi saw 3 spheres appear before him. It was a Sofan, a Trisolaran supercomputer. The 3 spheres each flashed a single word. Stop. "Can I discuss terms?" Luigi asked, looking up at the 3 spheres. "First, put down the gun. Then we can discuss terms. This is not a negotiation. These are my demands if I am to go on living. All I wish to know is whether or not you accept." "State your demands." "Have the droplet, or rather the probe, cease its transmissions towards the sun." "It has been done as you ask." Once the Trisolarans realized the severity of the issue, they knew that Luigi had checkmated them. They had no choice but to give in to his demands, otherwise risk the destruction of their own world and the destruction of the world they had hoped to inhabit. Luigi commands the Trisolarans to turn the other 9 droplets heading for the solar system away. The Trisolarans immediately react affirmatively. The probes emit visible light so that humanity has the means to confirm that they are in fact moving away from the solar system. Finally, Luigi will not permit the Trisolaran fleet to cross the Oort cloud. The Trisolarans place their ships at maximum deceleration, but inform Luigi that it will be impossible for them to decelerate quickly enough to avoid reaching the Oort cloud. Luigi commands them to set course away from the solar system. Then, like the droplet group, set a course away from the solar system. Changing course in any direction is death. This will cause the fleet to fly by the solar system and into the desolation of space. The fleet's life support system will not last long enough to return to Trisolaris or search for another viable star system. Death isn't a certainty. Perhaps human or Trisolaran ships can catch up and rescue them.
This will require a command from the High Council.
If changing course is a lengthy process, get started on it now. That will give me and all the other lives a chance to live on. The period of silence lasted for 3 minutes. Then,
the fleet will begin to change course in 10 Earth minutes. 2 years from now, human space observation systems will be able to observe the change of heading.
The Trisolarans admit that strategy had been their ultimate failure, and they had been unable to correctly interpret Luigi's actions during the time in which he prepared his plan. By this point in history, ETO, who had once enacted their own Wall Breaker program to oppose the Wall Facers, were no longer around.
You spent 2 whole months in the control room remotely controlling the ion engines to make fine adjustments to their positioning. We didn't care about that at the time, because we thought you were just using the meaningless task as a way to escape reality. We never imagined what the distance between the bombs really meant.
Another chance was when I consulted a group of physicists with questions about Sophon unfoldings in space. If the ETO was still around, they would have already seen through me.
Yes, abandoning them was a mistake.
The Sophon vanishes, and the Deterrence Era begins. It would last for more than 60 years, and its fall would mark the darkest point in human history yet. Following humanity's discovery of the Dark Forest state of the universe, humankind finally let go of the optimistic child it had once been. Humanity grew paranoid, a loner in the vast universe, terrified of even a spark from the darkness. Initially, even cell phone use was banned. Antennas around the world were forcibly shut down. Some sense was gradually restored as people realized that there was little harm in the vast majority of communications. Still, there were severe restrictions regarding electromagnetic radiation, and all radio communications were required to operate at minimum power, though most understood that these regulations were meaningless. At the start of the Deterrence Era, most of Earth's heavy industries moved into orbit. As a result, the natural ecology of Earth recovered to what it had been before the Great Ravine. In fact, due to a drop in population and the continued industrialization of food production, much of Earth's land was allowed to return to nature, almost as if the planet itself was transforming into a giant park. Luigi's creation of Dark Forest Deterrence against the Trisolarans was considered to be a great achievement, but the Wall Facer project itself was judged by history as a ridiculous and childish act. Luigi eventually transferred control of the deterrence system over to the UN and the Solar Fleet, and people began to turn their attention to deterrence itself. And from this, deterrence game theory was developed. When the deterrent was the complete destruction of both the deterrer and the deterree, as it was in this situation, then the system was said to be in a state of what they called ultimate deterrence. Ultimate deterrence is of course distinguished from other forms of deterrence by the fact that carrying out the threat would be of no benefit to the deterrer, Earth in this case. The ultimate key to deterrence is the belief by the deterree, aka the Trisolarans, that the deterrer, humanity, would almost certainly carry out the threat. But the simple fact is, if authority to carry out the threat in Dark Forest deterrence was given to all of humanity, then the probability of the threat actually being carried out would be practically zero. Asking humanity to take action that would destroy two worlds is difficult. The decision would violate deeply held moral principles and values. The particular conditions of Dark Forest deterrence made the task even harder. Should deterrence fail, humanity would survive for at least one more generation. In a sense, everyone alive would be unaffected. But in the event of deterrence failing, carrying out the threat and broadcasting would mean that destruction could come at any moment, a far worse result than not carrying out the threat. Thus, if deterrence failed, the reaction of humankind as a whole could be easily predicted. When developing deterrence game theory, humanity quickly realized that though humanity as a whole could be predicted, individual reactions could not be so easily predicted. The success of Dark Forest deterrence was founded on the unpredictability of Luigi as an individual. If deterrence failed, his actions would be guided by his own personality and psychology. Even if he acted rationally, his own interests might not match humanity's interests perfectly. At the beginning of the deterrence era,
Both worlds carefully analyzed Luo Ji's personality and built up detailed mathematical models. Human and Trisolaran deterrence game theorists reached remarkably similar conclusions. Depending on his mental state at the moment deterrence failed, Luo Ji's degree of deterrence hovered between 91.9% and 98.4%. Trisolaris would not gamble with such odds. Quite soon after humanity realized this, full control of the deterrence system was handed back over to Luo Ji. The entire process of transferring authority took about 18 hours. The Trisolaran's failure to take this opportunity to destroy the ring of nuclear bombs surrounding the sun during this time was considered their greatest strategic blunder during the war between the two worlds. For the vast majority of the Deterrence era, the detonation switch which would fulfill the threat of Deterrence would be kept by Luo Ji, the first sword holder in human history. It would be the second sword holder, Shang Xin, whose inaction would lead to the end of the Deterrence era, and ultimately the destruction of the solar system itself. We will discuss Shang Xin and the events following the Deterrence era in another video. Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you like and subscribe for more Quinn's ideas.